You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's Wednesday, and you know that means it's time to talk our state's history with our partners at the Michigan History Center.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers there reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
If you're a Michigander, chances are you're familiar with Native American art. If you're Russian, those baskets and paintings and clay pots and masks and other pieces of Great Lakes Indian art are something entirely new. It was 30 years ago, January 1989, when Michigan Native American art and craft pieces took a long, long journey to what was then the Soviet Union. Here to talk about that trip is Sandra Clark, director of the Michigan History Center. Hey, Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Always good to have you with us. And we welcome one of the artists, Frank Edowagishik, who is a citizen of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians. Welcome to Stateside.
Well, it's great to be on.
Sandra, tell us, how was it that this all came to be, that these Michigan native pieces wound up traveling to the Soviet Union?
Well, this was an exhibit that was arranged by the wife of the American ambassador to the Soviet Union, Rebecca Matlock, working with, I think Frank could correct me on this, but I think with Michel Gautier,
yes,
who was someone that she had known for a while, who was an artist who did a lot of wonderful pictures of Native people, although she was not Native herself. So this was a special thing held actually in the embassy in Moscow.
Wow. So that's it, and it was open to the public, right?
They would open it to the public. You know, this is part of a long tradition, fairly long, I guess, not real long, but this part of something that actually started a little bit before the Second World War, when Franklin Roosevelt started having cultural exchanges with Latin American countries. And then after the war, even though it was the Cold War, one of the deliberate things that Americans were doing was cultural exchanges, with the idea that this would humanize us a little bit more and make relationships easier.
And relationships, as I remember from living through that, I mean, when I think of this point in time, January 1989, that was only a year and a half after President Reagan declared, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." Yeah, so things were kind of dicey still between the U.S. and Soviet Union.
Yes, it was still the Cold War. It's interesting, if you look back throughout the Cold War, we are sending artists, musicians, theater groups to communist countries and bringing people to our country with this idea that culture is something that we have in common.
Frank, how did you get involved?
Well, I was one of a group that Michelle helped put together here to go. We had to raise the money to take the trip ourselves, but they made arrangements for us for our, you know, all of our travel arrangements in terms of the legal papers and everything. And we were taking artwork with us, which we gave as a gift to the Russian people. We did that, and not only we went to Moscow, but we also went to Leningrad at the time, which is now St. Petersburg. And we, at the Ethnographic Institute, which is about Peter the Great founded that museum, at that museum on Russian TV, a show called 600 Seconds, they had this little ticker in the corner counting down. It was a 10-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
Our presentation of artwork to the Russian people made it on this national TV show there when we were presenting that to the director of the museum in St. Petersburg.
So that was big, big coverage. What piece of yours, Frank, did you bring to the exhibit?
I brought a piece of woodland Indian pottery that I make that's made just the way my ancestors would have made pots 500 years ago. And this piece is now in that collection of the Ethnographic Institute.
And I know with the other artists that came along, tell us the kinds of items that they brought for the people to see.
Well, we had work from Michelle, her pen and inks. We had basketry from Edith Bondi. We had a mask from a clay mask that wall sculpture that Sally Thielen did, and we had a painting that Jerry Pigeon did. We also had a quill box from Yvonne Kishik, and there were a few other pieces that were there, but not all of those people were able to take the trip, however. But we brought their work, and it was part of the exhibit and part of the presentation.
Frank, I'm interested in how the Soviet Union, how that hit you when you were there. I mean, it's in, the idea that we're using art to humanize each other. And each country had these kind of preconceived notions, largely based on media. When you stop and you think about it, that when you talk to people who live on the other side of the ocean, they probably were using American television and movies to kind of form their sense of what your culture was about, and the other way around.
I think probably the best thing that talks about that would be a story that when we were going through customs on the way in, the ambassador's wife met us at the airport, and usually she'd flash her diplomatic passport and her guests would be able to go right through. But when we showed our declarations to the young lady at the desk, she looked at it and, well, she made each one of us in turn unpack, and she looked at all of the native items that we were taking. I had a bear claw necklace. We had other people with different types of regalia. And she made each one of us unpack, and that made her line go really slow. Her supervisor, this very prim, proper, young, uniformed man who gradually paid more and more attention to this really slow line, finally walked up, and the last person in line was Edith Bondi. And she has this absolute marvelous basket that she made. And it's got these little points all over the outside of it, and it's round. And she set it there on the counter, and the guy came up, and we thought maybe he was going to make trouble for the young lady who has taken so long to get us through the line. And this very uniform, straight, absolutely precise young man, he reached out and he caressed the air around the outside of that basket, and he completely melted. And then he waved us through. And that the power of art, I mean, that I don't think I've ever seen anything quite the same as that. It's amazing. When we get outside, Edith, who his basket was, opened it up and took her sandwich out and started eating it. And they said, "You didn't bring that through customs, did you?" The only thing we could have gotten in trouble was the sandwich in the basket.
Sandra, did any pieces from the Soviet Union come back over here to Michigan?
Not that I know of in this particular exchange.
What did come back is we got a tour on a bus with a young lady who it was her job to do these things, and just a few of us were on the bus from our group. And she gave this long speech about how she'd always grown up knowing that the U.S. was the enemy, and she had, been hearing about how you couldn't walk down the street without getting murdered or raped or whatever. And it was just terrible. But things had been loosening up a bit, and there was more travel that was happening now, because this was right at that time of change.
Yes.
And she said that her friends had taken a trip and came back, and they were telling her how everything that they'd heard was untrue. And she was so filled with hope that things would be changing. It's just this marvelous speech. Well, I recorded it, and then I played that when I got home, numbers of places around, and helped to build a number of sister city relationships and better relationships here, because I brought her words home back to Michigan.
That is the power of art. And Frank, I know you've got another special tie to history. Would you tell us about your father, who he was, and the three special peace pipes he crafted?
Well, my father was known as Pipigua. Chief Pipigua is the title that he carried, but my father was a veteran of World War I, and during World War II, he was the commander of the American Legion post in Harbor Springs. And after victory in Europe, but before victory in the Pacific, my father and a number of the other Indian veterans from this American Legion post here in Harbor Springs, they got this plan, and my father carved these three pipes that were then... They held a ceremony here in Harbor Springs with the commander of the American Legion, who happened to be from Bay City at the time. And they blessed those pipes, and then they were sent with the commander to General Eisenhower's staff. And then they were taken to this meeting of the Big Three. And one was presented to Joseph Stalin. One was presented to Clement Attlee, who had just replaced Churchill. And one was presented to Truman, President Truman. And those three pipes came from our area as a way of promoting peace in the world.
And that was the famous Potsdam Conference, July 1945. That is a remarkable, remarkable story. Well, it's very much a testament to the power of art to humanize quote, the other. And thank you so much for sharing it. We've been talking with artist Frank Edwigishik, who's a citizen of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians, and with Sandra Clark, director of the Michigan History Center, taking us to this moment in history between Great Lakes tribes and the people of the then Soviet Union. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Thank you.